This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
And we're ready to go on both Instagram and Pet Life Radio. It worked out well this morning. So, hello, hello, hello. Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you may be on this kind of cloudy Sunday morning here, at least in LA. And you're live with Dr. Jeff Werber, your host for the next 30 minutes here on Pet Life Radio's Ask the Vets. Dr. Jeff, here for you, here for your pets. Anything you want to talk about, now is the time to ask. What do you want to talk about? You let me know because I'm here for you. So, a couple of things. Let me say, I'm waving hello. Everybody who's waving to me, hello, hello. And just remember, as last week I said, we had so many great questions that we want to continue. So I did get a question during the week I thought it's worth talking about as we get into the realm of supplements. And as many of you know, I am a big fan of supplements. And I have my line, my Performance by Dr. Jeff. And the question came up about one of my products. And it really, I realized that this is something that should be discussed. And that is one of the most common things we see in one of the supplements that I take for myself. I highly recommend for pets, especially older pets that have what we call DJD, degenerative joint disease, also known as arthritis. So what do we do? I mean, we do see it. It's very, very common. And one of my products is a joint supplement. It has glucosamine, chondroitin, MSM, boswellia, turmeric. I mean, really, really good things that are known to promote joint health. But you have to understand one thing, that when you have a disease like arthritis, or I call it maybe a condition, a disease might be a harsh word, because it technically is a disease, it's a problem. It's a breakdown of the body, and it's a condition that we commonly see with age, again, more commonly in the large breeds. But it's multifaceted. So it is a breakdown of the joint fluid, the smoothness, and the integrity and strength of the cartilage. And there is therefore inflammation, and then there's pain. So if you are just taking one product, just like a good joint supplement for the degenerative part of the disease, which is the joint surface itself, then yes, we know that glucosamine and chondroitin and MSM all have a positive effect. But are they anti-inflammatory? Only to the point that they're helping the joint surface, they might reduce some inflammation, but they're not anti-inflammatories. For the same reason that, and this is also, it's so common. You know, you look at your over-the-counter non-steroidals. You look at aspirin, for example, all right? Salicylic acid, aspirin. And what does it say on the label? It says it's an analgesic. No, it's not. It's not. No, it is a class of drug called NSAID, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory. So when you have NSAIDs, so non-steroidal anti-inflammatory, then you are dealing with something that is inflammation. Now, can decreasing inflammation also reduce pain? Absolutely. So the analgesic effects of Motrin, which is ibuprofen, and things like meloxicam and salicylic acid aspirin, then these are medications that are meant to relieve some pain, but they're not true pain relievers. For that, you need something else, which is why this new medication that hit the veterinary market a short while ago called Librela is such a game changer because that actually attacks the pain part of it. So it's more like a multifaceted approach to see a result. And it depends on how much of which of the many factors involved with degenerative joint disease are being helped or causing the pain. If it's really just joint surface issues and fluid in the joint and things like that, and the integrity of the joint surface, then your glucosamine chondroitin should do great. If it's actually degenerative pain, then you're going to deal with, you need a Librela. If it's the inflammation causing the pain, you want to use an anti-inflammatory. So if you're going to hit everything, you need to hit everything. So if you just put them on one thing, because it's all the glucosamine chondroitins are over the counter, you may be disappointed. You may need to get some stronger type of anti-inflammatory, speak to your veterinarian, and you also may need to get an anti-pain medicine as well. So if you have any questions about that, ask away. David Golden, my vet, put my dog on a Sammy for her liver. Do you think it helps? Should he be on it for the rest of her life? She's 12, taking Rimadyl, that's why she goes, okay. So here's a perfect example. Also, when you have things like liver issues, do you need something like SAMI, which is S-adenosyl? I love it. Our Liver Boost product has it. So yes, do you need it full? We don't know. You monitor and see, will it hurt to keep a dog on SAMI for the rest of its life, especially at 12 years old? No, I certainly don't think so. I think it'd be a good idea. But what I would recommend, if you have an older dog who's on an NSAID, okay, like Rimadyl, a very good one, carprofen, I love it, that if you know that you already have liver damage, you might talk to your veterinarian about switching to the, one of the newer NSAIDs out there called Galliprant is actually, well, I didn't do the testing, but based on the literature and the testing and the FDA claims, it is better for liver and kidney disease. So if you have a dog, a certain degree of arthritis, or in this case, liver disease, and they need also to be on an anti-arthritis medication as well, such as carprofen, which is Rimadyl, then maybe you should do a gradual switch from the Rimadyl to the Galliprant. And that's supposedly easier on the liver. Now, do I love Rimadyl? Absolutely. It's my favorite and I use it. That and Meloxicam are the ones that we use the most. But if we're monitoring the liver as one should, when dogs are on NSAIDs for a long time, they should be monitored at least every 6 months, if not every 4 months, depending on age and what else is going on and how high the values were before we even started the medication. If you're on the borderline or minimally high and you do it, you know, I would do it 4 months later. If we see about the same, then you're probably okay. If we see a rise of the liver enzymes on what like Meloxicam or on Vetprofen, Carprofen, Rimadyl, Novox, they're all the same, then you want to consider a switch to Galliprant and see how she does on the Galliprant. So I hope that helps. What is the name of the product for Driggs with arthritis? So my product is called Flex, F-L-E-X-X. We also have Flex Large for big dogs. Now also, it is a chew. Now, there's a pro and con to everything. I actually had a dog recently that I thought it'd be better to give this dog, impossible to pill, so I thought, liquid. Well, I find out from mom that it dislikes liquid even more than getting pilled. So you never know. To make a chew, which I really like, our chews are tolerated and actually liked. I try to test it in my office all the time as a treat, and I throw it in the air and see if they catch it or give it to himself and sit. Good boy, good sit, and then give them the treat. And that's how you want to use it. They don't know they're getting some actually medication or a supplement, but I want them to think it's a treat. Now, does every dog like treats? And no. So, or at least that treat. So anyway, you know, you can't please everyone all the time. If you can hide it, you know, because it is a soft chew treat, you can just crumple it up and stick it in the food, see if that makes a difference. But overall, I would say the vast majority of the dogs like it. Now, for those of you who are old enough to remember ice milk, mom didn't want to give us ice cream. So they used to give us ice milk, which really wasn't that good. So, and your kid says, once they taste ice cream, they say, Ma, don't buy that crappy ice milk again. I'm not eating that. I want the real thing. So again, does every single dog like it? No. And there's certain flavors, certain tastes. You're not going to please everybody. Even my product, which I really like, it's not going to please everybody. And there you have it. So it's like buying this great dog food and, you know, 90% of the dogs like it. And your dog is one of the 10% that doesn't. You're up, you know, what's creek. You just can't do anything about it. So anyway, there are ways you can get them to eat it. Mupirocin, okay to use for dogs, earlobes, for allergies and itchy red skin. Now, yes, but with a caveat, mupirocin is a great antibacterial ointment. It is like a Neosporin. It's a different antibiotic. It's a newer antibiotic. Very effective, very good. Now, is it going to help for itchies? Is it going to help the allergic response? No, there's nothing in it that does that. There's no anti-inflammatory in it. There's no lidocaine to help stop itching. There's no anti-allergy medicate. It is purely a really good, effective antibacterial ointment. So you want to keep that in mind. It's not going to solve all the problems, but if there is any infection involved in those crusty earlobes, then yes, you should see an improvement by using mupirocin or any good topical antibacterial ointment. And I think that's a mupirocin is a good one. We're using it a lot. Powder supplement daily canine care. Ah, boy, Dr. Laura, I love that one too. We're going to have to look into how to get remade. The company that we were working with, it was their entree into the pet market. they were great. They did my daily canine care, which I absolutely loved. And we did the Optimum, which is my freeze-dried dog food, raw. And that was great. Again, that was a perfect example of something that some dogs liked it and some dogs don't. A lot of it has to do with the dog. But I love the daily canine care. So now that we're working with a new company, we are going to try to remake that product because it really was successful. We would get positive reinforcement. We would get positive comments all the time about DCC, our daily canine care. So we're looking for it. Have you had cases of old dogs having cancer and able to handle chemotherapy radiation? Oh, absolutely. So age is not a disease. So we always recommend that when you have an older dog that is going to need a surgery, for example, or some sort of advanced cancer treatment, I want to know how this dog is doing. I don't care about it's 11 or 12 or 15. What I care about, what kind of shape he's in. Is he in good shape? Can he handle the medication? And remember also one thing about treating animal cancer versus treating human cancer. Now, because cancer is usually an old animal disease, so the dog is already older. Do we see? Yes. I mean, I remember my first case in vet school was a dog that was a young golden retriever, probably 18, less than two for sure, that had fibrosarcoma in the face. And I was devastated. This dog was absolutely gorgeous, was the sweetest little young, you know, little puppy. And the fact it was, I was so bummed that it had cancer already. So, you know, it's one of those things that, again, poop happens. So, but most often it's going to be in older dogs. So I'm not going to use the age as my determining factor. I want to use the dog's condition as a determining factor. If this dog, other than the cancer, liver's good, kidneys are good, the blood cell counts are good, do I think he's a good candidate for trying chemo? Absolutely. And remember one thing about chemo in dogs is we don't expect our dogs to live another 20 years or hoping they will by beating a cancer when they're 60 and let's get them to 80. At maximum, a dog who gets cancer is usually older and might have 4 or 5 years left anyway. So we're not going to try to take a year to wipe that cancer out by using very high doses of drugs that puts them sometimes in a hospital and on really, it knocks the crap out of them, as we know it does in people. So the chemo and the radiation, do we use them? Absolutely, but everything is lower dose. Our goal is to maintain a quality of life and use doses that will be effective for slowing down the cancer, possibly eradicating it, depending on the cancer and the drugs involved. But our goal, these dogs are not going to go through the severe side effects of chemo and radiation that people do, because with people, the attempt is to try to wipe the cancer out or completely stop it. In dogs, it's to slow it. So we know the dog only has maybe 4 years left anyway. Let's get the 2 years left. And that would be a success. So if everything else is fine, would I recommend trying? Absolutely, I would. I'm a big fan of it. And I think it would be very helpful. And it'll be, if the dog is good and you can afford it, then I would 100% recommend trying something. I think what will happen is if you do nothing, and this is what I often say, and this is why I did surgery on my Grover, my 15-year-old Labrador. I extended his life a year and a half to 16 and a half by doing this surgery. And were there risks? Absolutely. But I asked myself, what can I expect as far as treating this dog, my dog, by doing nothing? And the answer is nothing. We probably would have had to put him to sleep within the week. Now, put him through the surgery. Might he not make it through surgery? Right. He may not have made it through surgery. Fortunately, he did. And he came through with flying colors. And because of a great medication, chemo, 15 years old, called Palladia, he lived to 16 and a half. And it wasn't even the cancer that killed him. So did I make the right choice? Absolutely. Did I kick myself in the butt later for not making that choice? No, I didn't have to, because I made the choice. So I'm going to leave you before we go on a break with that. If you can handle it and bloods are good, chest x-rays are clear, liver is good, no evidence of metastases yet, then I would 100% give it a go. All right, don't go away. We'll be right back after these short words.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
We're back here live also on Pet Life Radio after the break. We're talking about this cancer we started talking about before the break was in the liver. So it really depends on where in the liver, how much the liver is affected, what the cancer exactly is. And you need to do that through some sort of cytology testing, getting a piece of the liver, which is called a true cut biopsy. So I would not have an opinion based on current information until we get those answers. And if those answers could be very helpful, but if it is generalized, it is in the liver, not receptive to chemo, then that's unfortunately not a good prognosis. Have you ever come across a dog cloned by Viagen? How accurate and healthy are these dogs as clones? I'm not familiar with that particular company at all. However, let's talk about cloning, all right? I know that the famous Barbara Streisand did or was going to clone her dog. And here's my thoughts. First of all, if you're expecting to get the same dog, no, it's not going to work. Why? Because as with any living being, you will get genetically the same dog, 100%. But unless you can reproduce every single experience and moment of this dog's life exactly like the predecessor, then you're not going to get the same dog. So yes, as I said, genetically you can, but we basically are controlled by our environment, okay, and our genetics. So in order for it to be the same, we'd have to reproduce the same experiences since the dog's a puppy, since nursing with mom. Well, that right there, you're going to have a problem because this dog's not going to be nursing. And you probably didn't even have your dog at the very beginning. So we are imprinted, animals imprint on experiences, and that helps shape them. And if we can't reproduce that, then there's no guarantee that it's going to be the same dog. Looks wise, yes. So if you just want a dog that looks exactly the same and you want to spend a lot of money, then sure, clone. In my opinion, it's a waste, but clone. You won't get the same dog. Looking dog, yes, but not the same dog. So it's very important to know that. Now let's talk about the ethics. Let's talk about the fact that you are creating an animal for whatever reason. You can go to a shelter. You want cute? Go to a shelter. Go to a rescue. You will find a lot of cute. And these dogs are adorable and will not make it to next year unless they find themselves in a forever home. So what are you gaining by reproducing? You're losing a ton of money. You're going to get a dog that you're not going to be satisfied with because it's not going to be the same dog. That'll be the same looking dog. You're going to get a cute, pretty dog, but it won't be the same. And then you are not saving a life of a dog that is really waiting to find that forever home. There's a lot of morality and ethics in here. It's not an easy decision. And I mean, it's great that you might have the bucks to do it. I hear it's very expensive, but in my opinion, it's not worth it. Most of my colleagues, we've spoken about this. This is always a subject, would probably agree, but there's nature and there's nurture, and you'll get the nature. You're not going to get the nurture, but let me know what you plan to do. I mean, it would be really a great follow-up. If you choose to do it, you share the experience. So then that would do that. Kidney number, it was in the liver. Her kidney number isn't low. Well, that also could be part of the problem. I mean, if you're in an area there, I would really be very, very hesitant. Again, I do a lot of oncology. I treat these animals, but I'm not an oncologist. And there's new stuff going on all the time. And that's one thing about specialists versus an old guy like me, is that because I'm not an oncologist, I'm not always up to date. I am through my oncologist that I refer to. I learn a lot. But as far as radiation, I have a colleague. His name is Dr. Dave Hager. He was doing his radiation oncology residency at Davis when I was there. Really smart guy. So now he's board certified oncology, radiation oncology, and his hands were tied. This is back 40 years ago. Stuff wasn't commonplace. So what did he do? He went back to school to medical school to get his MD. And then he did his residency in radiology oncology, radiation therapy, radiation oncology. And now he's a DVM, board certified radiation oncologist. And I think oncologist also, certainly radiation oncology. Then MD, radiation oncology. But you know what he's doing now? Now with all the advancements in veterinary medicine, he's back to veterinary medicine. So we do lag behind a little bit. So I am not exactly up to date on what's going on in radiation and how targeted the radiation is. They call it a gamma knife that can go exactly where you want it. So maybe they're doing that. If they're doing it, then it might be worth, as long as the tumor in the liver is isolated. If it is the liver itself, that is really not a good prognosis, certainly not for radiation. Side point injection really work? David Golden, yes, I believe it does. It is one of my favorite. I also have Apoquil. We also recommend Apoquil. I personally like Cytopoint because I've gotten some dogs 2 months out of it. Usually it's a month, sometimes 6 weeks, sometimes, again, rarely even 8 weeks. Now, does it help every single dog? And the answer is no. Here's the thing. The moderator, the mediator, I should say, of the canine allergic response is interleukin 31, IL-31. That is the main one. And Cytopoint is anti-interleukin 31. So if this particular dog has other inflammatory mediators in addition to interleukin 31, Cytopoint is not going to work. It'll work on the interleukin 31, but not the others. Now, let's look at the Apoquil, which is the oral version. That doesn't touch interleukin 31 at all. What it does, it suppresses Janus kinase 1 and Janus kinase 3, JAK1 and JAK3 for short. Those are the two enzymes at the cellular level, at the skin level, that bond with and make interleukin 31 do its damage. The redness, the irritation, the itchiness, etc. Apoquil blocks JAK1 and JAK3, and that's how it works. But it's very short acting, works for 20 hours. That means you're going to go through every day a 4-hour period of no help at all. And within a day, they're back to scratching. It's only good while they are on it, which is why we started giving it in the evening. Because 20 hours, if you give it at 8 o'clock p.m., all right, 20 hours is 4 in the morning. So from 4 in the morning to 8 in the morning, right, if you give it at 8 in the morning, it's good till 4 in the afternoon. So 4 in the afternoon, there is a lot of hustle bustle. You know, animals then are going to probably be preoccupied and therefore will not go attack themselves. So you want to do it late at night. And then at night, when the stuff stops working, that's when the animal will probably be sleeping around doing nothing. So 4 in the morning, if you give it 8 in the morning, 4 in the morning, when you're still sleeping, the dog has nothing to do but scratch. So, but if you give it in the evening and the 20 hours later is 4 in the afternoon, then there's still reasons to keep this dog occupied, maybe going for a walk, eating dinner, the kids are home. So we like it better given in the evening. But what JAK1 and JAK3 also do are prevent some of the other, they attack some of the other interleukins. So if you have a dog and the main interleukin is not IL-31, but others, or others are involved, the Apoquil still may help. It won't be as strong on the interleukin 31, but it will help. So when we have these dogs where Cytopoint itself isn't working or not working as well as we would like, then I recommend both. Do the Cytopoint shot once a month and give the Apoquil pills daily in the evening, and let's see how that works. So that's what I would try, David. And if it doesn't work, let me know. Then there may be something else going on. Now, one more thing. Animals that have allergies and are scratching a lot also get secondary infection. If you just rely on the anti-allergy part and there's still infection or there still are fleas, not going to work. So you need to make sure that when you treat these allergies, you're also treating secondary bacterial infection. You are keeping fleas under control, or else these dogs will still continue to scratch. Hope that helps. Let's see. Dog is a great oncologist. Ooh, so yeah, the oncologist is great. First of all, I'd like to know how much the liver is involved and what the oncologist recommendation is. And oh, by the way, if you're with an oncologist, I would imagine they have somehow determined what the cancer is. That's important too. So after the show, you can reach out to me here on Instagram privately, and I will be happy to talk to you. Silver, with all the almost kill shelters, it's horrible that they allow cloning. I agree with you. Totally, totally agree with you. Yes. Equus lives matter, and so do canine lives matter, and feline lives matter, and I 100% agree. That's why, clearly, as you know, I'm not a fan of cloning. I think people will have the wrong expectations. Can I expect my herding dog, Great Pyrenees, to have recall when they are meant to be herders? Well, first of all, the Pyrenees were herding dogs. I think right now they're more, well, even the herding dogs. You know, what? When you think about what's a very popular dogs, right? Border Collie and the Australian Shepherds, right? They're great. And yet, how many of them are still herding? Now, there are places you can take out these animals too to practice their herding. But what are they good for? They're great Frisbee dogs. They're great agility dogs. So they've taken them and they found a great purpose for them, which is cool. And the dogs love doing it, but they're not necessarily herding anymore. But Pyrenees are great. Love the Great Pyrenees. Adopt, don't shop. Yes, yes, yes. Love it. How healthy would they be? Well, that's the thing. It depends what other effects are. Notice, if you were to clone a dog, how healthy would they be? So it all depends. It depends on many, many things. Look, they should be healthy, no doubt. But again, how much of our health is determined by nurture, by environmental factors? For example, hip dysplasia. Hip dysplasia is about 50% genetic and 50% environmental. So you can have a dog that genetically is okay. We call that genotype, but phenotypically ends up with hip dysplasia because of poor rearing, because he was too heavy, because they were heavy exercising too young when the hips were still developing. So that's what I'm saying. Reproducing every single minute, second of this dog's life is going to be impossible. So I can't promise it's going to be healthy. What the exposure, how many allergens are out there? He might have cerebral skin disease. How many toxic medications, toxic fumes, smoke, so many things that environmentally that can cause cancers might be in the environment now that weren't when your first dog was there. So it's too unpredictable. I'm just telling you, it's not a good bet. Not a good bet at all. What are your thoughts of flea meds, basically insecticides? So look, a good friend of mine he's now emeritus, chief of parasitology at Kansas State University. He's known as Dr. Flea. And Michael Dryden. Mike Dryden is a great guy. He's still my go-to. They have done the research on almost every single flea product on the market. The isoxazolines are very safe. Now, there is a link and a concern that dogs that have a predisposition to seizures might seize from isoxazolines. And not all of them, could be any one of them. So is there a precaution? Yes, there's a precaution. I'm not saying it's going to be 1,000% safe, but there's nothing we take that's 1,000% safe. And every animal, just like every person, is different. Someone could take a common drug like penicillin and end up with an anaphylactic reaction and die. So it's the being, it's not the drug that caused the problem. So I've used thousands of cases of the isoxazolines on my patients. Fortunately, I have not had any ill side effects. Now, does that mean that they don't exist? They do exist, but anything exists. Look at Rimadyl. Rimadyl had a terrible start because people were using it wrong. It wasn't the drug's fault. It was the veterinarians and the owner's fault because they were not looking at paying attention to the directions. So, you know, we just don't know. So the new isoxazolines I find to be very safe. I would recommend them. I use them on my own dogs. And fortunately, I've had no issues. The more natural a product, I think, in my opinion, unfortunately, the least effective would be great to have something that is super effective, totally natural. I know some naturopaths and holistic people say they've found that. I have not seen them work. Now, is it better than nothing? Yes. If you want to use something and you want to stay natural, then talk to a holistic vet or a naturopathic vet and go online and get some recommendations to try things. I'm never against trying something new, but I don't think you'll get the same effectiveness. Yeah, there are perfect dogs in the shelters. I agree. A good dry shampoo for Great Pyrenees, since they are hard to wash and go so bad they don't like water. I don't have any exact brands I can recommend, but I will tell you that in general, I find the dry shampoos leave a residue. I'm not a big fan. Yes, they're big. I would wash a Pyrenees like I would wash my car. You take them outside, get the hose, they don't mind cold water, and just hose them down, lather them up, and hose them down really, really well. And you take a couple of towels to dry them, do it in a sunny day. They don't mind being walk around damp. They'll dry by evening time. I promise you they will dry. So anyway, all right. I've overstayed my welcome. It is typical fashion for me. So I am going to let you go. And I will, if I didn't get to a question, I think I got to everybody, but if I didn't, please get a hold of me. So here I am again, back next week, same bat time, same bat channel here on Pet Life Radio. Thanks for joining me here on Pet Life and also Instagram Live. And again, I would love to help you out with any problems, questions you have. So just get a hold of me at your convenience. You can always get a hold of me here at Pet Life Radio, Dr. Jeff at PetLifeRadio.com, on Instagram, either also Dr. Jeff at PetLifeRadio.com, or you're here already. You know how to find me on Instagram, IG. So just find me. Have a great week, everybody. Stay safe and take care of your pets. Love him. Give him a kiss for me. I says, then I get more tongue than anybody I know. So I get my face washed with dog's tongues every day. Look, if there is any disease that I could get, I would have gotten it already. So it either leaves me with a great immune system or it's not as bad as some people think. All right. Keep that thought in mind. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.